Speaking of acknowledgements, I'm very pleased to be joined by Moana Jackson today. I spoke with Hami Pitipi from Te Rarawa at the end of last week, and he had attended the Iwi Leaders Forum down in Whanganui. And in our corridor, he said that there was a unanimous award by all who were present to a newly established tohu, which was the Peacemakers Award, and everyone united in celebrating that being directed towards Moana Jackson for his outstanding work over many, many decades. Moana is with us today to reflect on that acknowledgement, but also to look back at some of the neat things that he's done over the years. Of course, so he's from Kahanganupuro as well, and one of our sharpest thinkers about transformational change from a cultural perspective. I'm always pleased to have him join us for a kōrero to talk under tēnā koe. Moana, thanks for joining us.
Kia ora, Dale. It's nice to be back with you. Thank you for having me.
Nice to chat with you. Hey, mate, do you see yourself as a peacemaker? Because some would see you as a dangerous radical.
Well, you can be a radical peacemaker.
A radical peacemaker.
I'm not really into honours and awards. I feel quite whakamau about them, really. But the fact that this pukenga was offered by our people was for me a very humbling thing, and I felt very grateful that they saw fit to do that. And I'm glad that the idea of a pukenga has been established so that our people can acknowledge our own, and so that the crown honours are not the only honours that can be given or accepted by our people, but rather there is now a process which allows iwi and hapu to formally, I guess, honour our own. And it was on that basis, really, that my whānau and I were actually really pleased to accept the offer that was made.
Look, you're very deserving, and I know you're a humble man, so I won't go on too much about the neat things you've done over your life there, Moana, but let's talk a bit about the Iwi Leaders Forum and how it has developed into an influential body of thought. It was preceded, of course, by the New Zealand Māori Council, still in existence and set up by statute, but the Iwi Leaders Forum now seems to be the go-to place for ideas, discussions, and perhaps building strategy. What do you read into the influence it has developed since it got underway? And I'm picking it's within the last 20 years, might be even shorter than that. What's the background to the forum and how influential has it become, do you think, Moana?
Well, ever since 1840, actually, our people have tried to create forums where we could come together and discuss our own issues. Often the discussions were in reaction to Crown policy rather than a sort of proactive ability on our part to determine what those policies might be. So everything from the kotahitanga and even the kingitanga in the 19th century were part of that process of trying to establish some common forum where we could talk. Then 20 odd years ago there was the Māori Congress, which was another attempt to do that, but in each case they were undercut by Crown policies. Found it difficult to maintain their independence and a resource base which would enable them to function properly. When the Iwi Chairs Forum was established, I think everyone who was involved was aware of those problems. The resourcing issue was still a difficulty, but what had changed was that a number of iwi had by then negotiated treaty settlements and had a certain, if still inadequate, pūtea, which would allow them to make and determine their own policies in a number of areas, including the way that the iwi chairs could be actually organised, resourced, had the ability to conduct research and so on. It still takes up a lot of our people's time and energy, of course, but I think that basic difference has given it a certain survivability that some of the earlier organisations didn't have. It's been subjected, of course, to allegations of elitism, both by Pākehā and some of our people. And there's always a danger, I think, when organisations like that do function, that the link between the organisation and our people on the ground, if you like, is always open and transparent and maintained. And there's always debate, too, about the place of urban authorities in relation to iwi chairs, and how do we address the reality that a lot of our mokopuna don't live in the Hokianga anymore, but live in big cities and so on. And one of the issues that I think a group like the iwi chairs constantly has to grapple with is that relationship, because in the end, all of our mokopuna are our mokopuna, wherever they live, wherever they've grown up. They might live in Auckland, but whakapapa to Ngāti Porou or something. But their home, their lived space is in Auckland. And while that involves recognition of mana whenua in Auckland, it also requires some recognition of the fact that they are still mokopuna. And as I said, I think that's one of the issues we're constantly having to be aware of, so that no one is excluded in these processes. And I think that the iwi chairs are very aware and sensitive to those issues.
Kia ora. I wonder if it superseded the Māori Council as a sort of think tank for change. But the other thing I'd pose to you, please, Moana, is that, you know, they called this tohu a peacemaker award for our people who have been forced to stand our ground and to challenge almost every time to effect change. Should we be making peace or making waves?
Well, I think if you advocate for the peaceful resolution of issues, that necessarily involves making waves. You don't achieve tinoranga tiritanga. You don't get the treaty honoured by not making waves. But there's always more than one way to make a wave, I guess. And I think the important thing is to always be aware that, as I think you may have said before, every issue that the Crown pursues poses challenges to our people, to our right to be self-determining, and so on. And sometimes those issues are really obvious, like, say, the foreshore and seabed, which was a direct attack on the rights and authority of our people. But sometimes they are perhaps not quite so obvious, like the fact that the numbers of our people in prison have not changed in the last 30 years, except that the rate of Māori women has increased, and our women are now the most imprisoned Indigenous women in the world. And that's not an immediate sort of out there issue like the foreshore seabed, but it's one of those crown-driven injustices which our people are constantly having to battle. And what I would hope is that eventually we won't need to do that, that there will one day be a relationship between Māori and the Crown that honours the treaty, that recognises the independence of our people within an interdependent relationship with the Crown, rather than a partnership, as the Crown currently defines it, where they are the senior partner and we are always the junior partner. And I think that's the goal that our people have always tried to work for, and I would hope that it, in the lifetime of my mukapuna anyway, that that will come to pass.
Well, I share that hope as well, Moana, for our moko too. Should we be, are you, encouraged by recent political moves to interweave Taha Māori more prominently into our sort of strategy for our nation moving forward? That's not one particular party, but sort of the onus on all to recognise our previous shortcomings intergenerationally. Excuse me. So is there some sense of optimism that you feel that we are moving towards a better Aotearoa, albeit slowly?
It might be an age thing, but I actually have some optimism. I've always had the belief that our people will find a way. I've tried never to give in to despair or hopelessness over the ambitions of our people. But I've found in recent years there's now an increasing number of young people, especially Māori, Pākehā, Asian, all sorts of people who have a clearer understanding of the history of colonisation, what it has done, and a much more respectful understanding of the place of Māori as tangata whenua. That doesn't mean that racism and so on has suddenly disappeared, but I think there is a generational shift. And so most of the absurd and openly racist comments that are occasionally heard tend to come from old white men. And what's been heartening for me is that that has been often an issue which Māori people have had to confront alone. But now there are more and more, as I say, mainly younger Pākehā people and so on who are prepared to challenge those views. So that is, I think, a cause for optimism. I think there's still a way to go because there are major structural changes that have to occur. But yeah, I'm certainly more optimistic than I was a few years ago when racism was much more overt and so on. But I think it's important to acknowledge that all of those changes have only come about because our people have made them come about. The Crown has never willingly acceded to Māori demands or Māori rights. Doesn't matter which political party was in power. And the best thing for me, that I hope most for my mukapuna, is that they won't have the same sorts of struggles that we have had. That the Crown will eventually get to a point willing to openly acknowledge what needs to be done, rather than fighting this continued rearguard action, so that every Māori issue becomes a struggle. And I think we're on the way towards that.
As always, a pleasure to share some time with you, Moana. I think all listening today recognise in you, you know, a real champion of our people, but you do it with great grace and style, and that reflected in the universal support from the Iwi Leaders Forum and wider New Zealand too, to the contribution you've had to effect that change. Great pleasure. Thanks for sharing some kōrero with us, Moana.
Thanks very much, Dale. It's always a pleasure to be with you too. Thank you.
Tēnā koe, te tukana.